Good morning. Happy New Year. It's a new year, if you didn't know that. 2022, we have a new theme this year. I want to get into that today. We have 62 joining us, 62 devices. It's always more than that, joining us online. And so we're very glad that you are with us. And especially today, because today I want to kind of put before us a theme that the elders have been working on, and a way for us as a congregation to draw closer to each other, closer to God. And so something that's going to be important to us and needs to be on our minds this year, a point of emphasis for sure, and that is this idea of connecting one another. And so we'll get into Romans 12:5 in just a little bit. You can turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. That's where we're going to start, Acts 2 and verse 42. I want to echo what Mark said before communion about this time and how special it is. And not just this time, but as a congregation, this is our eternal family. He made mention of our natural families. And yes, just the past few weeks has been a time, a tradition in our society for families to gather, human, earthly families. And we enjoy that. And yet, I want to remind you, it may not feel like it, but this family, this is the eternal one. And you may have earthly family members that are part of God's eternal kingdom. And pray we do, and those that aren't, we pray for them every day. But this family, Christians, fellow Christians, this is our eternal family. And I don't think we value that enough. I don't think we treat it that way. I think we tend to treat this as kind of come and go, and our earthly family is that the tightest bond. But we're going to talk about having a tight bond this morning. So Acts 2 and verse 42. Of course, Acts chapter 2 is where the church begins. Reading about Christians and a part of a congregation in Jerusalem, and on this side of the cross in the new covenant. So the church begins in Acts chapter 2. If you want to see what Christians were doing at the very, very beginning, this is it. And verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. That last verse 44 tells us a lot. And I want you to kind of, what we're looking at today, these scriptures, take these and then look at how we are as a congregation, because we need to see where God wants us to go, where God wants us to be, how He wants us to be. And so I'll just read verse 44, and does that sound like us? It says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. This passage keeps hitting on together. They, fellowship, together, all of them had things in common. And if we read on, it just continues this idea. Verse 45, they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing to the proceeds to all as any had need. They took care of each other. And day by day, attending the temple courts together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. If we stop there for a second, there was a little bit there that sounded like holidays. We're not talking about holidays. Not talking about a yearly holiday. We're not talking about natural families. We're talking about the spiritual family of God, day by day being together. And the Lord added to, and look at these two words, their number. The Lord added to their number. That's the number of the saved, the congregation, the church, their number, day by day, those who are being saved. When we come together, we're not just individuals in a place together worshiping God. And we're not just individuals at home. Maybe you're unable to be here this morning. We're not just a group of individuals bowing before the throne of God, but we are a collection, we are a group, we are, to use today's an analogy from today, we are a team. We're not just people. We're not just individuals, but we are a team. And so let's flip to Romans 12. Let's go to Romans 12 and we'll start in verse 3. But Romans 12 is a great passage talking even more about how God wants his church. And of course, there are different congregations in different church families in different places, but God's people, how he wants us to be. In Romans 12 and verse 3 says, "By the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." In other words, egos are not helpful here. If you think of us as a team, what good does it do if some of us think we're better than others of us? When we, the staff here, Yvette, our secretary, Zach, and me, when we come up here during the week, we park on this end. Why? Because it's close to our offices. By the way, if you ever go to a church off hours and you want to know how to get in the building, find the cars. That's the church staff, and they park close to the door, okay? So we have this overhang canopy, what is typically a drive-through, but during the week, the staff parks under there, right, Janet? We've done that for years. And so there's space under that overhang for two vehicles. Well, we have three people and three vehicles. And I'm going to say something about Zach. Let me brag on him first. I appreciate, because then I'm going to hit him. But I appreciate Zach. In all seriousness, we are very, very, very blessed to have Zach as a minister here. We're very blessed. And many of you know that. And many of you may not know. You kind of watch from afar, but we are very blessed. Get to know his family better. Get to know our youth group better. Help our youth group. And I say this not just because we've come off the heels of a lock-in that he was at and I was not. That's not why I'm saying this. That's a bonus. That is excellent, by the way. But we are very, very blessed. And the way he serves and the effort and energy and the spirit he puts into our young people. In all seriousness. Now, he's also a real jerk sometimes because I've talked to him about, okay, Yvette is a lady. We will let her park there every day. That's fine, okay? She has the best vehicle. That's, it's the nicest. Let's let her get under that canopy. And then you and I, what should we do? We should alternate. We should have some type of sharing system. I've proposed first early bird gets the worm, which he's normally earlier than me. So I said, if you get here and I'm not here, just park under there. Quit being a jerk. And he fights with me on this, and he said, age before beauty, throws the age card out. Anyway, we fight each other, and he wore me down. I tend to just park there. I'm tired of fighting. But we fight over who should have the better. And Paul is going to get into what we should be together, but before he gets into talking about that with the church at Rome, he says, check your egos. Get your egos out of here. Don't think you're better than other people. All right, verse 4. As in one body, so he's going to make an analogy for the church, for a congregation in Rome being like a human body. As in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Our American society is very individualistic, if you didn't know that. If you look at other societies around the world and how they interact, how their families exist, how they live, many societies live in multi-generational homes. Families live together multiple generations. That's their culture. Many societies, when kids grow up and leave the nest, they don't go far. But as Americans, we're probably the most individualistic society, individual-minded. Our mindset is me. And Paul writes and he says, you are individuals, but look, you're individually members one of another. And a few other translations here. New Century says, each part belongs to all the other parts. NIV says, each member belongs to all the others. Today's Living Bible says, we belong to each other and each needs all the others. Somebody here needs you. There may be somebody that's not here, but they need you, and they need to be here. See what I mean? Someone here needs you. Each person. You think maybe you're just a distant part of this. Many of you are like me. Those who are back row folks, I get you. Okay? I do. I get you. Some of the back rowness is just kind of the spirit of an introvert. I get that. But I'm not talking about where you're sitting. I'm talking about mentally how you feel about this family, this group. Every one of us is needed. And every one of us is important. And we belong to each other. So we need each other, not physically so much. Not physically so much, but we need each other spiritually. We can strengthen each other spiritually. We belong to each other spiritually. If you're a Christian, you are on Team God. That's your team. That's your team. You're on that team. Now, we may cheer for teams. I don't even know who won yesterday. I was actually cheering for an Oklahoma team yesterday against the Fighting Irish. Did they win? I seriously did not know. I thought they did because Etta Mae was giving me a hard time. And that kind of told me what that was about. But we cheer for teams. Your kids may be on teams. Young people, you may be on a team. If you're a Christian, you're on Team God. And that is far above any other group you're part of. It's far above your earthly family. If you ever have to choose between your earthly family and your spiritual family, make that choice right now. Because one family is eternal. The other family, we're trying to bring to the spiritual eternal family. All right, let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 4:16. This one I'm really excited about something to show you here. Ephesians 4. So Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. He has the same message for them, talking about them as a... Would you believe people have a hard time getting along, by the way? That's a common theme in Scripture. People have a hard time getting along. Even families. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Kind of the basic idea is here, not only do we belong together, but if we're working properly together, if we're serving together, if everyone is pulling the load, then this thing, one analogy would be, I would use the analogy of an engine, a car engine. When each part of the engine is doing right, that thing runs good. It does what it should. When a human body, when a child, you take your child to the pediatrician, and when everything is going right with the body, it grows properly. And as a church family, when each one is doing their part, we grow. But I want you to notice a couple words here. The first word is joined, from whom the whole body joined. And that comes from a Greek word, sunarmologeo, is a big, long Greek word, and it means joined, fitly joined together is what it means. And then we have another word, held together. Those two words come from a Greek word, sumbibazo. I like that word, sumbibazo. Say that with me, sumbibazo. Say that out loud. Tell your neighbor you need to be more sumbibazo here. Sumbibazo. Okay, here. You read it. That's kind of in English letters. But it's pronounced sumbibazo. And it means firmly knit together. And so the first one is kind of put together, joined. And then the next word, held together, means what that word means is now we're clamped on. We're firmly held together, knit together. past couple days, I've been installing some under cabinet lights. Okay, they're kind of these about a foot long, narrow LED lights. And they come with clamps that clamp on them, and then you have two ways to attach it to your cabinet. There's a adhesive, you peel off, you know, the top, and there's an adhesive strip on each clamp, and so it will stick to the cabinet. And there's also a hole in the middle of that clamp, and they give you screws, and you can screw that to your cabinet. Now, if you've ever messed with anything like this, you'd be surprised how frustrating a very little screw is, and trying to put that in the bottom of your cabinets, which are very hard, and at an odd angle. If you've never tried that, you need to, and pray first, and have somebody praying for you while you're doing it, that little bitty screw. Anyway, I thought about just sticking these up, okay, because they'll stay there, you know, today, and maybe tomorrow, and maybe months, I don't know, but I'm pretty confident at some point that's coming down. And I thought about doing that, because that'd be quick and easy. But I did take the time to put at least one screw, they don't weigh very much, but at least one screw in each light. And that was frustrating, but I did it because I wanted it to stay. God says for us, He wants us together, and then He wants us knit together. He wants us clamped together, fastened together. Imagine a carpenter making a picture frame out of wood. He might glue those joints, she might glue those joints, and then might use a finishing gun, a clamp of some kind of hardware, and attach those joints so they don't come apart. One word means you're together. The other one means you're together for the long haul. And that's what this theme is about this year. Connecting one another. I want to mention a few different ways that this can happen here. There are many different opportunities for us to get tighter and us to get more connected with each other. And one of those is our small groups. We've been doing small groups here since about the year 2000 on Sunday nights. We also have a 5 o'clock service that is, in essence, a small group of its own. But we have small groups on Sunday afternoons, and in those groups, guess what we do? We share our lives. We talk about what's going on in our lives. I can tell you, I know more about David and Tammy Hobson, Cindy Ivey, Kim Rester, Ted and Susan Bowen, my sister, I knew her anyway. I know what's going on with her anyway. Mira Basu. I know more about those people, not because I'm their preacher, but because I'm in small group with them. And they know more about me. They know more about what's going on in my life. That meets a need. Some things we only share in group. It's a support system. I remember back, this is 19 years ago, when Sydney was born. The next day at the hospital, who comes to visit us? Our small group members. Our small group members. This is an opportunity. In group, we study together. It's a different environment. There are many advantages to just the vehicle of a small group. But I'm just talking about closeness. Not long ago, just been days ago, Abby is 16, and so when you're 16, it's time to get that license. And so we've been looking forward to that. And we had, if you haven't done anything with the DMV lately, you need to start praying right now. And then go talk to someone who has, and then go pray some more. And it's quite a deal. But we scheduled her appointment to take a driving test, and they were booked 2 months out. So by the time we could, and it's not easy to schedule it either, but anyway, we did that, and the closest and soonest place we could find was in Tahlequah, but that you're lucky to get what you get, and so we did that, went to Tahlequah, she took the test, had trouble with the parallel parking. Anyone struggle with parallel parking? Okay. So Now, what do? Do we wait 2-3 more months and try to get another appointment somewhere? The other option is you can go as a walk-in to any DMV that's offering driving tests. You can go as a walk-in. If you talk to someone who's done that, at about 6:30 in the morning at this one on 21st Street, there will be 10 cars lined up before the sun comes up. You're 10th in line, and you may not, and you're going to sit there all day and may not be seen that day. You may have to start over and try again. So the first day we went to 21st Street DMV, we got there at 4:30 in the morning. Yes, 4:30, and we sat, and it was dark, and we said we were number one in line. So proud about that. But by 6:30, 10 cars behind us. We wait till 7:30. They open the gate. We go up to the door. A sign on the door. By the way, don't try to call the DMV. You cannot get anyone to talk to you. The sign on the door says no driving test today. We go home. We regroup. We say, we got to get tough, kid. We got to get tough. Let's do this tomorrow. We'll do it again tomorrow. Okay. We go over to Broken Arrow. 4:30. We try a different place. 4:30. We're there. Sign on the door. It's the 23rd. It's New Year's Eve. 23rd. Not open the 23rd. Okay. Well, we run over to East Gate. They're not open either. We go home. Monday. They're supposed to be open on Monday. Did you know East Gate used to be a, what's it called? Used to be a mall. Eastland Mall. So East Gate, that thing's open all night. Anyway, we get there at 4:30. You can go in, and we're number three in line at 4:30 there. But we do finally get seen, and I had asked my small group, pray for us. Pray for us. I mean, listen, people have way worse problems than what I'm describing here, but nevertheless, you can understand the stress, okay? And so pray for us, and we asked our small group to pray for us. Abby's going to take her test. We're there at 4:30. Anyway, pray for us. And Tammy Hobson replied and said, tell me when she's taking it, and I'll pray at that time. So sure enough, 8:30, they pull away. I'm on my phone. Tammy, she just drove away. She passed, by the way. Tammy Hobson's my favorite small group person right now. I like the rest of them. One of them I'm married to. I mean, I like them. They're all special. But in all dead seriousness, Tammy Hobson's my favorite. Do you see what I mean? Do you see how... That's not even a spiritual thing, but we're bonded. We're bonded. We need each other. That's small groups. Monday night for the Master, we do that. We're gonna start that up a week from tomorrow. But about every other Monday, we have Monday night for the Master. We come and eat together. You can come. You can help with the cooks if you talk to Nan Hunt. Regarding that, but you can serve with food, you can serve cleanup, you can come, we can use help with childcare. We have a group that meets and prays. We have a group that meets and they use text messaging and phone calls, and when things are better and more appropriate, we'll be visiting again. We have a group that writes cards. Have you gotten a card from anyone in the church? Cards. We have a group that serves. We have needs around the building they serve. Sometimes we'll have a member of the congregation that has a need at their home, and a team of usually men, but a team will go and serve. We do that on Monday nights. I've come to many Monday Night for the Master tired, right? Come here thinking the old human body's like, boy, it would be nice to go home right now, wouldn't it? Nope, let's get up here. I never leave that way. I always leave filled up. We have a prayer chain that was mentioned. We have a prayer chain of about 75 different emails. That's not 75 of our members. That's 60-something. But it many of those go to married couples of the church, And so I tell people, we have upwards of 100 people praying for you. If you have a need that gets on our prayer chain, it's a mass email that goes out, and people are praying for your need, and those things happen daily, and it is special. It's real special if you're the one that needs something. It's pretty special receiving them. Like Mark says, it connects us, it bonds us together. But it's very special when you are in dire need and you know that 100 people are lifting you up or your loved one in prayer. If you're not on that, let us know if you want to receive those. They come to you just as needed, but it's typically a daily type thing that you would get those emails. There are a lot of different ways you can be connected here, a lot of different things you can do. Good things happen here all the time. Mark came home from the hospital a little ways back, and that day, the Ringles and the Harrises show up at his house with barbecue and cinnamon rolls. You can call a friend and say, hey, let's go get food and take it to so-and-so. You can serve. You can do things. We have retreats, men's retreats, ladies' retreats, marriage retreats. We have fellowship meals. We have a lot of ways that you can not just be connected here, but be fastened here, knit here. And one other thing I want to mention is I want to give a really good plug to Wednesday nights. I want to encourage you, if you normally don't come Wednesday nights, I want to encourage you to do that. Just come once. We have classes for all ages. We start at 7. We'll have class from 7 to 7:45. And then we come into the auditorium. We all gather in the auditorium. We'll have a song. We have a brief devotional. We'll have announcements. We will share answered prayers. Every Wednesday night, we ask for answered prayers. And we typically have a few. People saying, God has done this. God has done that. And then we bring up a prayer list, people who need prayers, special prayers, that night. We pray for them, we dismiss, and we have fellowship. I never leave Wednesday night feeling like, man, I wish I could have just stayed home tonight. And I don't think anyone else does. The people who come Wednesday night, it's not that they're more spiritual than the rest. I think it's they know the value and they know how much we need this. Going Sunday to Sunday is hard. It's not enough spiritually. We need more. And what did we read in Acts 2? How often were those people getting together? Daily. We need each other more. Not physically, but we need each other spiritually. And a final scripture for us in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 21. Just look at 21 and 26. Verse 21 says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. So that's us. We can't say to each other or to the group, like, I don't really need them. We would be lying. We do. And then verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. That's what we are, a team. We're a team. You're on Team God. And in this next year, I encourage you to think right now, what can I do to be more connected here? What can I do? How can I help? And it may be also what's part of this is there may be someone who's not here that you can think of right now. I can think of so-and-so. This person, this person, this person. You know, I've not seen them in a while. Guess what they're doing? They're struggling spiritually. You don't have to inquire and find out. If they're not with the church family, they're struggling spiritually. I'm not saying they're running with the devil and living a horrible world, you know, worldly life. They may be, but I guarantee you they're struggling spiritually. What can you do this next year? We're going to sing the song of encouragement, Have You Been to Jesus? This is what we're about. And so I love Sundays, especially. It's a special time, but we need to be more focused on God. And if you have a need this morning that we could lift up to God on your behalf, if there's one here this morning, we always offer an invitation. A person can become a Christian anytime and be saved. But if you are not right with God, let us help you this morning while we stand and sing.
Have you